A friend loves at all times. Proverbs on friendship. Our key verse is verse 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. It's interesting that in a time of mandated social distancing, we want to talk about intimate friendship. Maybe God is giving us time and space to reflect on the concepts of friendship, to examine our own views, and maybe even take a friendship inventory? What does the Bible, specifically the Proverbs, have to say about friendship? First, on the book of Proverbs, it falls into the wisdom literature section of Scripture. Now, we're more familiar with the Psalms that are filled with expressions of emotion, of pain, joy, and praise. They show us how to process our experiences before God. Proverbs is a different animal. It calls us to study, to think, to learn the practical discipline of centering our thoughts and actions on God. Jesus calls us to love God with all our minds. Proverbs shows us how. So, after learning through the Psalms how to throw ourselves fully upon God in faith, we learn through Proverbs how to live out that faith practically. But don't misunderstand, Proverbs are not steps to a happy living, like a book of life hacks or how-tos. A proverb is a poetic art form that only grants wisdom as it is wrestled with. Sometimes this goes against our rational, inductive method of learning. For example, we may read in Proverbs 26, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him." Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So which is it, Solomon? The answer is both, showing that we need discernment. While this book speaks to a myriad of topics, friendship, money, romance, ethics, labor, communication, etc., they're not arranged topically. The book was written as a pedagogy for a father and a mother to educate their children. The Hebrews understood that development in one area spurs on the development in another, and neglecting one impacts all the other. So wisdom is to be taken and developed as a whole. It is intended to be digested and carried out, not individually, but in a community of multiple generations. Lastly, we must know that Proverbs is part of the Bible as a whole, and so it will always yield its best fruit when studied in awareness of Jesus' gospel. Now, this message may feel a bit like getting sprayed by the fire hose of Proverbs. I'm sorry about that. But I want to try to organize the message around three main questions or points. One, what are friends and why are friendships important? Two, what is the characteristic of a friend? And three, what a friend we have in Jesus. First, what are friends and why are friendships important? Now, there are many good books, charts, explanations, workshops, etc., etc., that define and explain all this, and I will never do any of them justice here. So for the sake of simplicity, though, I'll introduce three levels of friends. The first may be acquaintances, people we've met more than once, people we attend conferences with or go to work with, people we attend the same church with, maybe people we go to the checkout counter every day to get our coffee from, acquaintances. The next level might be coworkers, highly functional relationships that often focus on productivity, like professionals, discipleship friends, mission workers, workout buddies, study groups, etc. I mean, who are your coworkers? Think about what titles or groups you belong to. Are you part of a leadership council, a pastoral team? Are you a reproducer? Are you part of the Kingsgate Fellowship? These are your coworkers. You're doing things together. Over time, you come to know each other's strengths and weaknesses. You work side by side to accomplish something. Trust is developed over time. But this kind of relationship is often subject to one area or sphere of life. So you may have coworkers in one area that don't know anything about other parts of your life. For example, you may share deep-seated opinions about a range of things with a coworker, but you really don't know their children's names. You're unaware of what personal struggle they're going from. However, it is often from this group that our last category develops. Friends, as I'm describing it, are people with whom we have a bond from the heart. Though we may do many things together, just like with coworkers, when the task ends, the relationship doesn't. Distance and time may grow between us, but the relationship picks up right where it left off and we are reunited. We seldom need to explain to each other. We can understand one another. There are space for making mistakes. Trust is given and trust is expected. That's how I'm thinking of and defining friends in the midst of this message. Let's do a little activity. Take a moment and visualize in your mind three circles. On the outside is acquaintances. Next one closer might be coworkers, and then in the middle might be friends. As you visualize those circles, whose faces appear at the different levels? Now here's a harder question. Did you take for granted the people closest to you? For example, a spouse, or maybe a parent or a child, the people you live with? Often those are the people who are our closest friends, and yet we take them for granted. Maybe the COVID-19 coronavirus gives us a chance to correct that. So why are friendships so important today? In our sped-up, demanding society, isolation becomes more common. Studies show that loneliness is on the rise. It has been found to increase a person's risk of dying early by 26%. The former U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy states, "Weak social connections are associated with a reduction in lifespan similar to that caused by smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and even greater than that associated with obesity." A variety of studies have found a strong correlation between loneliness and increased risk of alcoholism and substance abuse, heart disease and stroke, high blood pressure, mental health issues such as anxiety, depression, or risky behavior, and poor decision-making, dementia and cognitive decline, poor self-care like not eating well or getting enough exercise, disrupted sleep, lack of motivation, and poor job performance, decreased resistance to infection, high stress levels, and even chronic diseases such as diabetes. That's the negative side. Is there any positive reason for friendships? I can think of three. Firstly, we need the counsel of friends. Proverbs 13:20 reads, "Walk in the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." I think all of us want to become wise people. We want to walk with the wise. We invest in education. We read books. We study the Bible. A friend provides a unique and important role in our formation, not simply through sharing information, but through counsel. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice." Acquaintances and coworkers, they often give counsel, sometimes unwarranted or uninvited. They use flattery or manipulation to get you to buy something. "Oh, you look great today," or "this dress would look nice on you." Or perhaps they want to get you to work harder or support their agenda. See, their counsel cannot be taken at face value, as it is often not based on seeing you as a whole person, only the area in which they know you. In contrast, a friend's heartfelt confession is indeed a source of joy. Pleasantness here is literally sweetness. In the days of the writing of Proverbs, people couldn't manufacture sweetness. It had to be found, like finding honey, much like a precious gift of friendship. A friend's advice is good, not only because they may be smarter than us, but because they have unique insight. Proverbs 20 verse 5 reads, "The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out." Only a friend sees us as we are, has come to understand us, and is trusted enough to really be heard, so they are the ones who can give specific advice. Many times over the years, I've needed such heartfelt advice, and I'm so thankful for trusted friends to whom I could turn. Perhaps you're one of them. As a verbal processor, the listening ear of a friend is sometimes all the counsel I needed, and other times I've needed such a friend to show me the way when I couldn't see it. So we need the counsel of friends. But secondly, we need the correction of friends. Proverbs 27:6 reads, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. While a friend's counsel helps us from going down the wrong path, correction from a friend helps us restore the good path in our lives. While criticism from coworkers can be painful, draining, and overwhelming, a friend's critique is helpful because you know they are wounding you for your good out of love. Friends help us grow. Proverbs 27:17 reads, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." As the blade is drawn skillfully across the sharpening block, nicks are smoothed out, burrs are removed. Contrary to popular belief, there is no self-made man. All of us are influenced by those around us. Most of the time, this is accidental or harmful. But what if, instead of stumbling around, bumping each other, hurting and being hurt, we intentionally developed friendships where such redemptive honing of our character, our behavior, and our inner person were embraced, focused, welcomed? I don't know about you, but I can see many nicks and burrs in my life that really need sharpening. I need people whom I can trust to stab me in the face instead of in the back. People who simply being around draws out the best in me and who allow me to draw it out in them. It's becoming clear, though, that real friendship is a risky thing. It requires really opening ourselves up to being hurt. It requires self-awareness and maturity to allow someone to speak truth into my life and to really be able to listen. That may be why friendship is so rare, but also so precious. So we need the counsel of friends. We need the correction of friends. And third, we need the comfort of friends. Our key verse is 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Acquaintances and coworkers can comfort us, and we do welcome it from time to time. But it is the friend who loves at all times. While a friend's counsel or correction become important in our life from situation to situation, the constant comfort and love of a friend is what staves off loneliness, isolation, and despair. The emphasis of this verse is at all times, a constant love. In our world of Kleenex relationships, where every mistake can be analyzed and promulgated instantaneously on social media, the question, especially among many younger people like our children, is this: will you still love me when I make a mistake? Not if I make a mistake, but when? Part of life is experiencing ups and downs. In fact, those who stick by us in the hard times tend to become the best of friends. Thinking back over my own life, there have been people on whom we could always count on in the times of adversity as well as in the day-to-day. People who I knew supported me and what was best for my family, who I could trust. Lately, I'm thankful for the comfort of friends in Toledo. It was not an easy transition for me, having lived all of my adult life in one place of Chicago. I had stress withdrawal, I was overly sensitive, and I had a lot of diarrhea of the mouth. But you have been a comfort to me and to my family. There are so many evidences of this, and the stories are so numerous. One recent example is the care package we received from Bruce Kwiatkowski, full of goodies for our boys, shipped all the way from Germany. So let's close our eyes again and think of those rings again. To whom do I go when my family needs counsel? Who do I trust to correct me? Who is there to love at all times, giving constant comfort? Let's take a moment to give thanks to God if there is even one such person. In fact, maybe the COVID-19 virus is the very thing giving us time to intentionally reach out and thank that person through a phone call or a letter. Now, like me, you may be wondering, how do I get such a friend? When asked, who is my neighbor, Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan. And in the end, he asked, which do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So from this parable, a better question may not be, how do I get such a friend, but how can I be such a friend? And that really is a much harder question. and what our next part is about. So second, what are the characteristics of a friend? When we were kids, many of us made friendships quickly and easily. Some were good, and some not so much. My mom said of my best friend in high school, "You are each good boys, but together you are rotten." As adults, we are busy with many other things. Some of us with young children feel like we hardly interact with other adults. So it is all the more important to choose carefully whom we allow into deeper levels of intimacy and trust. As Proverbs 12:26 reads, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." So maybe a good place to start is, who should I avoid making friends with? Well, Proverbs have something to say. We should avoid gossips. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. We should avoid those easily angered. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Drunkards, do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. We should avoid unreliable people. Like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in a time of trouble. Now, of course, we all want friends who are funny, who make us laugh. But sometimes people take it too far. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, "I was only joking." But if we're honest, sometimes I'm the one who's the gossip or the easily angered. I have some of my dad's humor, which can be hurtful sometimes. One of his favorite jokes was, "Hey, Steve, does your face hurt?" If I said, "No," he would say, "It hurts me." Or if I said, "Yes," he would say, "Yeah, it hurts me too." He would often say, "You're strong, but odor isn't everything." To find good friends, I'll need to be a good friend. We're going to review 5 major themes of friendship from the book of Proverbs. But to do so, I think we'll need 2 things. 1, a healthy bit of self-awareness and humility to look inside and identify these characteristics in me and what's lacking. And then 2, we're going to need some courageous initiative to step out and engage with others. So what are the characteristics of a friend? Kindness and generosity. Let's read some Proverbs. 3:27-28. "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you,' when you already have it with you." 11:25. "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." 22:9. "The generous themselves will be blessed, for they share their food with the poor." 14:21. "It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy." Now, why would you ever withhold good? Some people say, "Oh, I wanted to train or manipulate that person to do what is right." But real friends don't do that. Rather, a real friend refreshes, blesses, shares, gives. If I'm kind and generous, God says, I will be blessed. There's a Swedish proverb that says, "Friendship doubles our joy and divides our grief." Now, this requires some awareness of those around me. Who's poor and needy? There was one church who was taking up collections to provide relief for the hungry in the city without even realizing that there were hungry, sick, and weak in their own congregation being ignored. Take a moment of self-reflection. Am I aware of the needs of those around me? What could I do in this moment to be kind and generous to them? Faithfulness and loyalty. Let's read some more Proverbs. Proverbs 20, verse 6. "Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find?" 27:10. "Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family. And do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away." We mentioned earlier that a friend is one who gives constant comfort, who shows up when things are hard. Note that loyalty is proven by actions, not just words. Our hearts are asking, will you be loyal to me even when I make a mistake? When I look out into the world, we often don't find faithful people. There's constant division, even churches fighting each other and dividing. Children, they have to see their mom and dad divorce. Will we be different? Will we be just like them, quick to accuse, condemn, chastise, even abandon others? Think back over times when those around you were in trouble. Was I the one standing with them through their pain, counseling, correcting, and comforting? Or was I the one adding fuel to the fire through criticizing? And how about now? Is there anyone who needs to be assured of our loyalty, of my loyalty, to whom I need to say, I got your back? What could I do today, now, to make that clear to them? Patience and forgiveness. Let's read some more Proverbs. 12:16. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. 14:29. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. 15:18. A hot-tempered person stirs up a conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. 17:9. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. 19:11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. 24:28-29. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause. Would you use your lips to mislead? Do not say, I'll do to them as they've done to me. I'll pay them back for what they did. In view of faithfulness, patience, and forgiveness is a good follow-up. The fact is, close friends hurt each other. Someone told me that it's because only close friends are close enough to get under our guard and hurt us by their opinions. Our God is patient. God chooses to forgive. Jesus requires us to forgive others. This is really challenging, so we need to grow in God's patience and forgiveness. Honestly, reviewing these Proverbs, I find I'm often in the category of a fool. What practically could I do to be more patient today? Truth-telling and peacemaking. Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. 10:18. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. 17:14. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. 24:26. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. 22:11. One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. In some ways, truth-telling and peacemaking are a conflict of interest. Recently, I told one of my sons, stop bickering with your brothers and tattletelling all the time. To which he replied, so you don't want me telling the truth? It is true that truth produces greater friendship than judgment or flattery. But before telling the truth, we have to be trustworthy. This is why effective correction needs to come from a trusted friend. There's a tension here, and it requires maturity and self-awareness to check my motives. See, sometimes we hide the truth out of fear or simply indifference. Other times we tell the truth, but it's malicious, like my son criticizing his brothers. The Bible encourages us to speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. What could I do today? What initiative can I take to be more honest and transparent without stirring up conflict and disputes? Tact and mindfulness. Proverbs 25:16-17. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they will hate you. 25:20. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. 27:14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Reflecting on the previous elements and then reading these few, it's clear that friendship requires discernment to do the right thing at the right time. So there's a saying, wisdom requires wisdom. So what can I do to learn to be more mindful of how I carry out or enact my friendship toward others? Now third, what a friend we have in Jesus. I think the truth came out. The fact is, being a real friend is not easy. We're all of us dealing with our own issues. And can anyone say, I'm the perfect friend, honestly? And all of us have had friends that have failed us. We failed our friends time and time again. But there is hope. Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who is this friend? Yeah, it's Jesus. He took great initiative to become a friend closer than a brother. Now, relationship with Jesus isn't supposed to be exclusive, like a lover, but rather in the context of a community of Jesus' friends. Look at what Jesus said about it. John 15:12-15. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And this you is the plural you. It means us, his church. All of us together. And this gives me great hope. Following Jesus' example, obeying his command to love one another, allowing him to be my friend who loves at all times. He is working. He's like iron sharpening iron to mold me into his image. He gave his life to forgive my sins, to heal my diseases, to make me more than I am. Growing as his friend, becoming more like him, is also the way to grow, to be a friend to my family, my community, the one this society needs. Preparing this message, I came across many good illustrations of true friendship. One that sticks out is the friendship of Frodo and Sam from The Lord of the Rings, and it is very apt. Usually we like to think of ourselves as the Frodo of the story, the main character, the one doing great things, getting the great companions, getting the neat gadgets, maybe the center of attention. But Tolkien subtly crafted the story to show that the real hero was actually not Frodo, but Sam, the trusted friend who stood by him through thick and thin, sacrificing himself for his friend, no matter the cost. Sam is so beautiful. Yes, Frodo's sacrifice to rid the world of evil at cost to himself certainly is a shadow of Jesus' own sacrifice. But we also see Jesus in the loving friendship of Sam for Frodo. Jesus' friendship for sinners. Jesus, the creator of all things, humbled himself, made himself nothing so that we could be great. Jesus emptied himself in order to give us life. He is the friend who loves at all times. Perhaps the greatest thing we could do for anyone else, the best thing we can do as a friend, is to introduce that person to our greatest friend, Jesus, the friend who never disappoints. Let's read our key verse again. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. We covered a lot of ground in this message. But what was one thing you may have learned about yourself through this perusal of Proverbs? Is there even one takeaway, one specific initiative I can do in moving forward in relationship with others? That is the question for us today.